better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
If you want to get on the conversation, 877-377-6963 is the number to call or text into the Cherokee Casino Hotline. We've had a few of you text in this morning. And Corian Rogers poses a good question, which I know has been asked by many people, saying, does Ole Miss and Missouri firing their coaches make it more difficult for Arkansas and their coaching search, especially based on more recent success of those two programs compared to Arkansas? Where does that lie? And I know we mentioned it a little bit in the opening, but Tommy, I'm with you. And maybe it is my bias, maybe it is my rose-colored glasses, but I think right now, still, Arkansas can be a more appealing job than Missouri and Ole Miss. And I think a lot of that has to do with more of those two programs and the off-the-field issues with the NCAA and all that, more so than it is the actual wins and losses.
Yeah, Corey's question is, does it make it more difficult?
Right.
Question, the answer to that is yes. I mean, you just got more openings in the SEC. It obviously muddies the water to some degree. Missouri's got a big problem right now. They've got scholarship reductions, and they've completed their bowl ban.
They got money issues, too.
They've lost $10 million or whatever in all of this, and now you're going to bring a coach in to deal with all of this mess? I, for me, on the outside looking in, and again, we get upset here when people were taking shots at, you shouldn't have fired Chad Morris after 2 years. We got mad about people telling us how to handle our business. So I don't want to be the one that's telling Missouri how to handle their business, but it seems like with everything you're getting ready to go through at Ole Miss and at Missouri, it's sure asking a lot of a new coach, or you're going to have to make a lot of financial guarantees on their initial contract to attract a quality candidate. Forget about everything else and how difficult it is to win in the SEC West at Ole Miss, or it's been proven you can win in the East at Missouri. But it's not getting easier with Georgia certainly on two good feet in the Western Division, and it looks on the Eastern Division, and it looks like Florida's on their way back, top 10 team,
yeah,
most of the year. So I mean, the East isn't any. It's easier, but it's not a lot easier right now. So I think that both schools maybe pulled the plug a year too soon. Even if they said, "Yeah, we're going to make a change," I think waiting another year would have been far more advantageous. And you look back at when Arkansas pulled the plug on Bielema, in hindsight, one more year with Bielema probably would have been a more prudent move.
Kind of been worse than 2-10.
Yeah. Well, just considering you didn't have an AD and all, and Ole Miss just hired an AD like last week. He's still living out of a motel, I'm pretty sure. You know, Heath Carter.
Yeah. Well, and if you also,
you can't believe that that's his decision, that right away, a week on the job, we're going to fire the football coach.
No, because no AD would do that, or at least no AD in the right mind. But another factor into it, too, Tommy, is if you look at those two coaches that were hired at Missouri with Barry Odom and, of course, Matt Luke. Barry Odom was hired because after they didn't get rid of whatever that situation was with Pinkel, I guess he retired technically. But when he had retired, they had some serious issues when they had those protests going on. The program was in shambles. Of course, you had the NCAA looming. You had all of that. So what they decided to do was settle because nobody else could come in and take the job. They had to settle for Barry Odom. And he ended up doing an okay job, in my opinion. But still, they settled for that because they couldn't go out and get a name coach that they wanted. And it's the same thing with Ole Miss. They had to settle for Matt Luke because of their situation. Nobody wanted to come into that program, at least any coach of any credit, except for somebody like that to come in and take it over. Now both of those coaches are gone, and yet both programs find themselves still in the similar situation to where they're not necessarily the most desirable job when it comes to finances, when it comes to what the health and the stability of the program. You mentioned Missouri or Ole Miss having to have a new AD. I say what you want about Arkansas. It's been terrible. Been absolutely terrible, but it's not off the field stuff. It's just the fact that they haven't had a coach to put it together.
But at least Ole Miss has an AD in place.
Yes.
Now, Arkansas tried to do this last time with no AD in place. If nothing else, Ole Miss has learned from Arkansas's mistake there.
Yeah.
And that's a big decision handed to the AD. I'm going to guess he didn't make that decision. He didn't go to his board a week and say, I think I want to fire the football coach. and go to his chancellor or president or whatever they have there and say, yeah, let's blow up the football program. He was hired in order to do that. That mandate was given to him when he was hired. Here's what you're going to do. Here's your first order of business. So he's got to, you know, pressure's on day one. It's like Jeff Long, man. He had to go find a football coach before he was even officially the AD. He didn't technically take over till January 1.
Mm-hmm. And that technically worked out.
Yeah. Bobby Petrino fell in his lap.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens at Ole Miss. I think Arkansas is the best of those three jobs. It's probably our bias coming through. But you just look at these other factors right now. But it's still two more jobs in this league you got to compete with, whether you like it or not.
And what you're hoping for is that the timing of firing Chad Morris has given you a three-week head start, and you're ahead of them is what you're hoping
But listen,
for.
If all, you think Missouri wins the football game against Arkansas, fires the coach. Ole Miss brings in new AD. And I just wonder if the Egg Bowl had been different. If Elijah Moore had not hiked his leg and acted like a dog and peed on the field. And you win the Egg Bowl.
Yes.
Is there still a change at Ole Miss?
I don't think so.
I'm with you. I think the outcome of the Egg Bowl changed the fate there. Swung the scales to a different balance of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think about that act by that one player and more, and the hundreds of people that will be affected by this. It's not just going to be the head coach. It's going to be all the assistant coaches, all the support staff. Everybody's going to be gone. 300, 400, 500 people, however many, you know, with families and everybody going to be uprooted and moved as a result of that act.
Because a man hiked up his leg and acted like he was peeing on the field like a dog. What a story. What college football?
Got his coach fired, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, again, we'll never know if that's the direct connection to it all.
Well, but I just wonder if the Egg Bowl's different, is he still the head coach?
I think it'd be hard to fire him when you beat your rival.
It wouldn't have put him in a bowl. That would only been their fifth win. I would imagine the four wins, even /5 wins, they would have had without that. And who knows? That was just going to tie the game if he would still be the head coach. But I know this. That was very embarrassing for that university and its administration to have to come out and, you know, publicly apologize for what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, is your home at Arkansas at least 10 years old and served by OG&E? OG&E is offering Arkansas customers a free weatherization program to increase your comfort and lower your bills. Train crews will come out and do an energy audit at your home, and now is the time to get it done before the harsh winter months set in. They'll do things like attic insulation, LED light bulbs, new weather stripping, advanced power strips, smoke and carbon monoxide detectors, and a whole lot more, absolutely free if your home qualifies. 1-800-272-9741 for OG&E's free home weatherization program. That's 1-800-272-9741.
Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Ben is in Fayetteville. What's going on, Ben?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
John, I want to commend you on your coverage of the flight tracking. I thought I was watching Planes, Trains, and Automobiles following you on Twitter.
Well, I appreciate it. I got to give
your inside men there. You got it, the TSA or wherever the hell they're at, baggage handlers.
Well, Ben, I appreciate it. I got to give credit, though, to my plane tracking task force team. They were on top of it yesterday. So, yeah.
Oh, man, they're fantastic. Absolutely. A couple of things I got. I think Matt Luke was gone no matter what. I think they've got a bigger name as an offensive coordinator there at Ole Miss that'll probably be the next coach, and Rich Rod. I think he'll roll right into the head coaching position. I think that's part of the reason they hired him as offensive coordinator there. But whatever, Ole Miss, I couldn't stand them. They suck, whatever. Don't really care who the coach is there. What I'm worried about is these other guys getting fired. Jimmy Sexton's probably just seeing dollar signs whenever he closes his eyelids, because this just makes a place like Arkansas, which is fantastic and easy to sell to the coach, whenever somebody comes and visits here, or you know, kids that come here, it's a fantastic place to live. I think what Jimmy Sexton sees, though, is it's going to make them overpay. It's kind of a bidding war. You know, a nice house in a nice neighborhood, more people are going to, you know, they're going to put in more bids for it. I hope that Arkansas hires a big name so that they can get some good recruiting in here in this short little signing period, and then also keep the good players that we've got. I mean, the last thing I want to see is anybody good leave because of a coaching switch. I don't know who they hire. I hope they hire a big name, somebody that's recognizable, somebody that the kids can, you know, latch on to and be appealing to them. I think that's the big thing in today's, you know, society, social media, whatever. So I'll hang up and listen, but I really appreciate you guys. Y'all take care. Have a good morning.
Thanks, Ben. You know, one thing you bring up there is the current roster. You know, listening to Scooter Harris talk after the game, a lot of player interviews and a lot more is online at hitthatline.com to listen to. Johnny made it clear that, you know, a lot of the current players did not buy into Chad Morris from the get-go.
Not at all.
So there was something, there was some kind of event, some kind of moment, some kind of disconnect between these players and Chad Morris that dates back to prior to last season. These players did not buy in for some reason. There was something they saw, something they didn't see, something they heard or didn't hear. I don't know what it is. He didn't go into those specifics. But he was very clear about the fact that whoever the next coach is, these current players have to buy in because he laid it out. These players didn't buy into Chad Morris. And that got Chad Morris fired ultimately.
Yeah.
You can't win games that way. So whoever it is, these guys got to give him a chance.
And that's where when that comment was made, and I thought it was very fascinating, and it wasn't surprising because it was obvious that they did not buy into Chad Morris. First off, I'm curious as to why. Like, what was it, like you said, that just made him? Because listen, Tommy, I don't care who you are. As a new coach, to not have your team that you walk into buy in at least minimally. Buy into it just because you're the new coach and they want to play, they want to compete, they want to win. To not even really buy in at all from the get-go.
What happened?
That's got to, like something had to be where I don't know if he walked in and said, none of y'all are worth anything. I'm going to wait until I get my guys in. I don't know. But man, that had to be seriously strong and a strong indication from not just a couple players, but the majority of the team to say, we're not with this guy. We're not down with him.
Some kind of breakdown in trust. You know, some kind of promises were made and weren't delivered, something. I've heard, you know, you start hearing things that over the last 6 months or whatever, but particularly this season, about promises made, about playing time, starting roles, all of these things. And you can't, you know, I can't go to you and say, hey, you're going to be the host of the Morning Rush and then come over here and talk to Ty and say, no, I'm making you. And then something's got to give. There's only one spot, you know. You can't be making promises, the same promise to multiple people, and then you can't deliver on that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't write checks your butt can't cash. And I've heard that about this staff going on multiple times about, well, they promised this recruit that, hey, if you'll come here, you'll be the starting whatever. And then the guy that's on the roster, hey, you're going to be the starting whatever. Mm-hmm. And then nobody trusts anybody.
Yeah.
I think that was part of what was going on, just based on I've heard that too many times. Too many people.
And I think the number one position, of course, it was so obvious, was quarterback.
And that's not all of it. I don't think that's the whole reason for the disconnect. But why do players go somewhere? They think they can play and they think they can be a starter and they think they can have significant playing time. And then if you're promised that, you get here and you find out, well, this guy's promised the same thing I am and there's only, you know, there's only one. No. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, another factor into it, too, Tom, if you look back at the quarterback position, how many schools have two quarterbacks transfer in the same year? I mean, how often does that happen?
Mm-hmm.
And I know this is all hindsight's 2020 looking back on these things, but if you look at it, you're like, you know, that kind of makes sense because why did Ben Hicks and Nick Starkle come in when, and we obviously knew that both of them were aware that both of them were coming in. Were they promised something different? Were they promised to Ben Hicks he's going to start? Promised Nick Starkle they're going to start? Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah.
But it was just a disaster. It was an absolute disaster. I know everyone's glad it's over, but it definitely shows, and especially the way that Scooter Harris, for instance, came out and talked about not buying in. It was so evident to that this team and Chad Morris, there's not a lot of love lost, and there was no real connection emotionally, like mentally, anything to what Chad Morris was trying to do. Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Skip is in Bella Vista. What's going on, Skip?
Hey, good morning. You know, I think if it was not that, like the players, it was Chad Morris never bought into Arkansas. He never moved his family here. He left his team every Friday night to go watch his son play. He brought Ben Hicks here, and a lot of those players knew that he was not the quarterback that should have been starting. They were a little insulted by that. They just didn't like it, you know. I think all those things were big problems for a lot of the players.
Yeah, and it's crazy, you know? Skip, that, you know, again, hindsight is everything. But looking back on those things that we kept hearing about Chad Morris and, you know, not moving his family and all of that. I know as far as that being the number one reason he was fired, no, but
that's the 19th thing I've got an issue with.
But it's still, though, I think it's a factor into it if it's perception of anything.
I get it.
And, you know, he bought this huge house, which, again, that's fine. That's what he wants to do. He wants to do it. But buys a huge house and the fans are like, okay, you don't bring your family in, and yet you're going down to Texas, even though there is major issues going on here you need to be here for, even though Friday nights you're not going to see your team anyway. It's, again, it doesn't matter about that. It matters about the perception to people, and the perception is that he wasn't all in. He wasn't putting in all the work that needed to be put in to get this program turned around. Again, I don't know if that's right or wrong to say, but that's what the perception was from fans.
I agree with you 100%. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Skip.
You know, the whole deal with watching this kid. I mean, so if the coach is out recruiting and he goes to three different games or goes just to one game on a Friday night to see a recruit, mm-hmm. No issue. Boy, that's a hard-working coach. Look at him. He's just working, burning the midnight oil. He goes and watches his son play, and I'm sure recruiting other players. And it was reported and seen he's had the hogcopter or whatever going around. You know, now it's an issue.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference, you know?
There's not, but
it's perception.
It's
like
perception. That's all it is. And, you know, and it goes back to if he would have had his family moved up here, and if his kid Chandler was playing for Fayetteville or whoever that they ended up playing for or would have played for, then it doesn't become an issue if he goes and watches his son because it's just down the road.
Let me tell you can say, as head coach, I'm going to put my fist down. He may be the head coach at Arkansas, but I bet you he's not the head coach at his house. So, you know,
he's probably
just a coordinator. It may be a GA at home.
Mm-hmm.
And you like to think, well, you could have just moved your whole family here. Well, it's not as easy as you think sometimes when your kids are established. They have roots. Your family has well-established roots in Texas that I can understand why the kids didn't move. And particularly when you have the means to travel back and forth or do what you need to do. Why he tried to make it work the way it is. I agree with you. The perception is horrible. The optics of it was horrible. But I don't think – I think that will be something that's discussed with the next coach is if that – you know, how old are your kids? Do you play high school football? What is your plan there? I think that would at least be a question you'd have to ask because I don't think it really had an effect on anything, but it certainly had the wrong – optics or perception from the people on the outside looking in.
Yeah, because what other...
And perhaps his own players.
And what other coach has that? You know, when I don't know. Maybe
it's
there's
rare.
Been other, but it's...
And if Chandler... What if Chandler had not been a prized recruit? He was just a normal, run-of-the-mill high school football player that might get a college scholarship at the D2 level or, you know, low division or FBS level or something. You know, would it be still that big a deal? But he was a... I can understand why a parent... Take the coaching role out of Chad Morris. Why a parent wouldn't want to move their kid who's going to have a chance to play high-level college football somewhere.
My whole thing is that he can do that at Fayetteville High School. He can do that in Northwest Arkansas. It's not like he's going from, which I understand.
Your options and your opportunities when playing in the Dallas Metroplex and playing Texas high school football are just better, John.
Yeah.
I mean, we may not like to admit that as Arkansans. But it's just true.
I'm just saying it worked out for other quarterbacks. I mean, Brandon Allen's doing all right for himself. Austin Allen, you know, he got some offers too. I mean, I just don't think that coming to Fayetteville or coming to Harbor, Bentonville, wherever they would have ended up playing would just had some sort of negative impact. But again, it doesn't matter anymore because he's not the coach anymore.
Right.
It's over. He's gone.
I get Skip's point in all that, and I don't think the next coach that will be an issue. So
no,
what are the odds of the next coach having a highly coveted high school quarterback that lives elsewhere that's not going to move? I mean,
yeah.
Guess it could happen, but I think the odds of that are pretty low.
Yeah, so we don't even have to worry about that anymore. But the whole thing is now is that you just have to move on to who's it going to be, who's going to get hired. Like, the timing of it is what's going to be key, too. Do we have a coach at Arkansas this week? This work week, do we have a coach?
You think about three of the names you're looking at, and you brought up Kiffin yesterday and tracking planes in Boca Raton, Mike Norvell over at Memphis, Justin Fuentes, his name has gotten brought up a lot at Virginia Tech. What are all three of those coaches doing right now? All three of them. Getting ready for a conference championship game.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it may that changes the timeline. Is getting the right coach in place long-term more valuable than getting someone that's maybe not your number one target, your number one option in a week sooner to try to save this recruiting class? I mean, with a change at Ole Miss, the first two places you need to go are Morrilton, Arkansas, and Conway, Arkansas, and try to get the lineman there in Conway and the Criswell kid at Morrilton.
Mm-hmm.
While trying to retain all the players that are on this current roster. Burks, Knox, KJ Jefferson, and keep going, you know.
Because it's also December 15th is the early?
18th. 18th to
so
the 20th.
So essentially that if you're talking about if someone got hired on, say, Sunday, press conference Monday type deal.
Better be. Even before the press conference, you better be on the phone with, like, Cody McNabb, who's the head coach at Morrilton. Hey, coach, we want to come down and see you immediately.
Mm.
And there's one kid you need to flip.
Yeah. And then you're going to have to get a staff together, at least of some sort, to help you out with the recruiting trail.
You know, and maybe it was right or wrong. Chad Morris didn't get the staff all put together till after all of that, you know, completely.
Mm.
So I don't know. But those are some of the first things I would be doing if I was in that spot.
No, you have to. You absolutely have to.
Because those are two, I mean, there's other recruits in this state, but those are two of the bigger ones. I mean, you got one a lineman there at Conway going to Ole Miss and the Criswell kid going to North Carolina right now. That's where their commitments are at.
Mm-hmm. And from what I understand and from talking with Richard Davenport and others, you know, Criswell, if he got that offer from Arkansas.
Well, I think it would be, I don't think it's a slam dunk, but from what I've been told by people that are very close to it, they're not in wait-and-see mode, but they're very interested to see what happens at Arkansas.
Mm.
They're very comfortable with the fact that Jacoby has a good spot to go to North Carolina, who won their sixth game, got bowl eligible. Mack was dancing in the dressing room again. They're very comfortable with knowing what they have. But kid wants to be a Razorback. He's Dre Greenlaw's half-brother, who was a great Razorback defensive player. You know, so this is where he wants to go. And I think the right situation, the right coach could make that happen.
Mm-hmm. And as somebody pointed out in our text line here, I think it's Justin Van Buren. You know, if it's ended up being somebody like Elaine Kiffin, too, he's already
And we got a point. I was wrong. Fuentes isn't preparing. He lost that game to Virginia, so
yeah,
he's out. Maybe he's your number one target.
Hey, and if he can hire Barry Odom as the defensive coordinator, which is what they had that relationship with, I think Razorback fans can buy into that.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Had a lot of people calling and texting into the Cherokee Casino Hotline. If you want to get on the conversation, 877-377-6963 is the number. Caller, text in. Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Don is in Rogers. What's going on, Don?
Morning, guys.
Morning.
Hey. Got a real quick question. The buzz on the street this last week, I heard it a couple times. And really, Clay, this is you probably got an insight on this better than anybody, but is it a worry for us? Are we at that place in time in college football history where the pay and play is getting ready to come in just like it did in basketball? And I heard several people this week at the coffee table say, you know, maybe our government needs to implement the law like California, copy it and put it on the book. Because if we don't, Arkansas will never have a winning season again, no matter who they put in as a coach. And if they can put that in now, it's one more key in that, you know, going out and recruiting, being able to say, if you come to Arkansas, number one, we're going to have a big coach, whoever that is that they name. But along with that, you know, when this is allowed by the NCAA, you're going to be part of that group that's one of the first ones in. And is that just scuttlebutt, or, you know, is it just rumorism, or is it something that maybe we need to start looking at and be one of the first states instead of one of the last states to jump on board here? And, you know, is it a worry for Arkansas to never have a winning season again if we don't do something in that aspect?
So, first of all, the NCAA has said they're going to do it. You know, it's a two-year window. So every school, not just Arkansas, knows that it's coming and will recruit in that way. And it doesn't matter that you don't have to have that law passed in your state because it's going to be an NCAA rule. It's not illegal as it is now to have collegiate license and pay your players. I mean, it's against the NCAA rules. It's not, so you don't have to have that as a state law because it's not a, it is not illegal. It is just against NCAA rules. So when the NCAA passes it, Arkansas will be like every other school. They will be able to do that. And California's is out there further than what the NCAA is going to do to implement it. I talked with John Fagg, and they've got all the things in place to go forward with it. It's not like Arkansas is not going to be able to do it, and their coaches are going to be able to recruit to that, knowing that in their state, just like California, it is legal. It's not a pushback against a state law. So, yeah, and I think that these coaches coming in will be briefed on what they can say and how they can say it, and it will go forward. Trust me, the current staff was geared up to do that in recruiting, and it will not be a hindrance.
Let's continue to go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Rod is on I-40. What's going on, Rod?
Good morning.
Morning.
Y'all asked a question a while ago, and it kind of got me thinking about when did the coach, Chad Morris, lose the team? And I got thinking back, when did he lose me? And I got thinking, he made a statement way back there, I'm just a high school football coach. And that stuck in the back of my mind for the last 2 years it's been there. And every time he screws up, I was like, well, he's just a high school coach. You think the players might have fined him? You know what? We need to call his coach, and all we got is high school.
Yeah, well, and I appreciate the phone call as always, Rod. That was actually something, too, to go into it is something that I guess it was when Scooter Harris had mentioned that a lot of the players didn't necessarily buy in, and that's not surprising to anything. But Clay, I know we were talking about it during the break, too. When did it all really go wrong for
Chad?
Yeah,
there's some subtle things that happened on the front end that made me scratch my head. And, it must have been 3-4 weeks into his time, I walked into the football building, and the side of the wall in where the players ate and where you did interviews it's a massive mural of Clemson quarterback. And now I'm going blank. Houston Texans quarterback I watched last night. Deshaun Watson and Chad Morris, and they're in Clemson gear. Well, you know, Clemson was the model, and I understand that. But if I was going to put somebody on the mural that was, you know, 30 foot high, I'd put Darren McFadden. I wouldn't put a Clemson player. And the whole message was not for the team. It was for recruits. This is a guy that recruited Deshaun Watson, and that was their shining glory. But you can't send that message to the team. I mean, it's just like, hey, that guy's not a Razorback. It's got to be about Razorbacks. And then, to me, the ultimate thing that went wrong is that there was no success. You have to have some success to get by it. I mean, it cannot be continued losses, 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 losses. There was never a hint that they were turning the corner. I never saw it, and I guarantee you players didn't. And that's how you get by it. And it can be shaky for a while, but okay, now we see it. We're going with you. Well, they never saw anything to make them go with him, and that was a problem. And without question, that was the problem with the fans too. There was nothing ever to latch hold of, and in an offensive system that is supposed to be all the things that he said we're going to do, they never did. And I mean, that's how you get players to buy in. They saw it with Petrino. Everything that he talked about, he did. And to me, that's what happened. And, his first year was all about recruiting because he knew the roster was slim. But the message kept being hammered home, our roster is not good enough. We've got to go recruiting, and this is what's more important. Players like, hey, I'm gonna get replaced. I mean, this guy, he don't believe in me. And you got to convince your players that they, you know, that you believe in them, and that's what they saw, and You know, it's the quarterbacks are the leader of the team, and they were cast out. And it just, there was never anything to get the buy-in, in my opinion. And it's just, you look at this, 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 and this. All of it added up to you know, what you finally heard from Skuda and some other players.
Right now, the calendar's winding down, but they're winding up the savings at Williams Tractor in Fayetteville, Berryville, and Bobcat in Northwest Arkansas and Rogers. The True Blue Savings event's going on right now on New Holland Tractors, hay and forage products, and material handling equipment. Get in on all the True Blue savings right now at Williams Tractor in Fayetteville, Berryville, or Bobcat of Northwest Arkansas and Rogers.
Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. LSU Billy Joe is on the line. Congratulations to your Tigers, LSU Billy Joe.
Well, I want to say good morning to y'all, and I hope y'all find the right head coach. That's not a high school coach. I think y'all should have kept Bobby Petrino. And second of all, we're going to beat Georgia. And then we're going to go on and beat Ohio State, Clemson, and we're going to win the championship this year because there ain't no way nobody going to stop Joe Burrow or shut him down. He's too high power, full of a quarterback, and he's up for Heisman. And I think Lane Kiffin would be a good coaching choice for y'all.
Yeah.
He pretty much knows what he's doing and stuff. And I'm going to leave your thoughts on that, and I'm going to go.
All right. Well, appreciate the phone call, Billy Joe. Yeah, well, first off, I think you're going to beat Georgia, and I hope you beat Ohio State. One of the few times I'll root for LSU if that ends up being the case. But, yeah, very impressive by them over the weekend. But to go back to your point about the Lane Kiffin angle, and that was, of course, was the main conversation yesterday with the flight tracking down to Boca Raton. Clay, do you think that the connection, and I could be overlooking this, but is the connection that Lane has to Arkansas originally, where, you know, his dad was a coach here. He had lived here for a short period. We know about the situation when he was at Oakland that he wanted the job, and ultimately it fell to Bobby Petrino. It just seems like there's always been this connection, this history with Lane Kiffin, that this was always a place he wanted to be. Do you think that there's a lot to be said about that?
Yeah, and I think there's also a connection with Hunter Yurecek and Lane Kiffin, and I think that was Hunter's at least – a high choice for him on his rating system when he was looking for a coach. And, you know, the leader of the board and some other people on the board, they thought that Kiffin would be a short-term guy at Houston, that he would, you know, move on someplace else, maybe Arkansas, who knows. But he was viewed as not a long-term fix for Houston, and that they thought that Major Applewhite, who had been on staff there before, would be the right guy. Of course, that didn't work out. So I think Hunter, probably in the back of his mind, thought this is a guy we can go get and is somebody that we've researched and believe strongly has turned the corner both in his personal life and coaching and has shown stability at Florida Atlantic. And so I think he probably was going to be on the list from the start.
Clay, if you're Hunter Yurecek and John Fagan, you're going through the process of vetting the candidate, asking the questions. How much time do you spend with, you know, I know you're going to obviously talk about who would you likely bring as offensive and defensive coordinators, but how much time would you spend on offensive line coach, defensive line coach? Because that's where Arkansas has got to improve as much as anywhere, is who's going to be handling the battle in the trenches, because who your offensive line coach might be the most important assistant coach you might hire.
Yeah, I think you get the film out and you show how they've played at Florida Atlantic and how their line is coached, and you show the importance that you've put at those two positions. The offensive line coach is Jeff Nord, who's a Houston Nutt guy, was at Arkansas for several years, and then was also at Alabama. Lane Spencer, who's the defensive coordinator, Lance Thompson, who's those guys have got a long history of, you know, defense and defensive line. They're trained in the Nick Saban way. They've got Will Muschamp in their pedigree. They've got LSU, Alabama, you know, Saban time. Great recruiters. That's what you show them, and that's what your staff is made up of. And, you know, there's some young coaches like Charlie Weiss Jr. that's on their offensive staff, but those key positions that you just mentioned are coached by veterans with SEC experience, and, you know, it passes the eye test. And, you know, the recruiting coordinator, you go back and see who he recruited at different stops, and they're blue, the blue of the blue, Julio Jones, you know, in Alabama. You know, it South Carolina, those defensive linemen that are on the all SEC list, you know, it's interesting that they're at Florida Atlantic with Lane, and he's hired good, solid coaches. And it's not, you know, they're, you know, there's a sprinkle in every once in a while where it's a young coach, but then there's some veterans that when I read their resume and of course their names, you know, jumped off to me. I knew they were. So that's what you want to know. And he's that's why Hunter Yurcheck is, you know, is talking to him because of those type coaches.
Well, and see, and that was the course is not like it's a pretty dumb statement, but to me, that was the thing that when you were going to hire a new head coach, and if it was Lane Kiffin or whoever it was, the assistant coaches that they were going to have to put in place was just as important, if not more so important, than who the actual head coach was going to be. Because you saw that in this past couple of years with Chad Morris, and we have talked about it, that having the staff in place, not to say that they were all bad coaches or anything, but there was definitely some of the issues there, especially with the youth and inexperience, that went into play at an SEC school and at a place like Arkansas. You got to be able to assemble a great staff. I thought when Brett Bielema arrived, his staff was fantastic of what he assembled. Now, he couldn't keep them, and he wasn't able to replace them with high-quality coaches all the time. But the staff that he put together, I think, is where the success started to build from when he first arrived. And you got to have guys that can develop, that can coach, then, of course, that can recruit it all. And that's going to be the curious thing about me, whether it's Lane Kiffin or Brian Harsin or Justin Fuente or Matt Campbell, whoever ends up being the coach and all these names getting thrown around. That's the thing that I'm hoping that they can come in and at Arkansas not only be able to get a raise from the place that they're at or at least make more money than the place they're at because that's going to be a factor, but also had the financial support to be able to go out and get high-quality assistant coaches. You got to get your coordinators in place. You got to get guys in to recruit. Can this be a place where maybe you can lure some people from other big-time jobs, from as assistant coaches or as positional coaches that they're at their current school? Can you pay them enough? Can you have a coach that's good enough, that's a good enough recruiter to be able to lure some of those guys away? That's going to be the key factor into it as well. Head coaches are all well, fine, and good, and dandy, but you got to have your assistant coaches come in and make an impact as well, and that's going to be important.
Yep, and you know, you have to go a step beyond that and look at strength and conditioning. He hired one of the assistants from Scott Cochran's staff at Alabama, and the model was the Alabama strength and conditioning program. And it was really interesting. That guy was made assistant head coach, and I mean that speaks to what he thinks strength and conditioning is, and it must be the core of your program. Your assistant head coach has the clout to, you know, to run that program in the off season. So, you know, Lane's done some things right, and you go back and you check his staffs at Tennessee, at Southern Cal and Oakland, always top line staffs. He's not had trouble hiring coaches, and you know, I suspect that, you know, with a little more money, like you just said, John, that was a nice summation, that he should be able to elevate coaches where he wants to. You know, I suspect that most of those guys will come with him, but there may be some that, you know, that he wants to change, you know, tweak it here or there, and he's got the funds to do that. Certainly he doesn't have funds at Florida Atlantic that would compare to an SEC budget.
Hey, tomorrow night, Austin Peay comes to Bud Walton Arena. The Governors will be in town. If you're not going to make the game, head to Joe's Grill and Cantina, 3400 South 74th Street across from Harps in the River Valley. You can have half-price apps and taps during the game. Plus, it's Taco Tuesdays. They got dollar tacos on Tuesday
double whammy
as well.
Then.
Yeah, so big time tomorrow night. Half-price apps, half-price beers on tap. I know a lot of you get there early, watch a lot of the games. So, hey, when you're done with work, get over to Joe's, get a great spot at the bar or anywhere in the restaurant, and watch the Hogs and Austin Peay tomorrow night. 7 o'clock on that tip-off. Half-price apps and taps during every game at Joe's Grill and Cantina, 3400 South 74th Street across from Harps.
Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Jason is in Marshall. What's going on, Jason?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Any idea what time frame we're looking at on a coach hire? And I think it ought to be pretty quick with Ole Miss and Missouri looking, don't you?
Well, I don't know if it has to be quick. I would say that the 7-day period from yesterday, like this week, maybe even into Saturday, Sunday, we'll at least know something, I think, hopefully a little more set in stone. But I don't know. You don't want to rush into these things. And you also, as Tommy mentioned earlier in the show, you got some of the coaches you're looking at that have championship games that they have to prepare for.
Lane Kiffin being one of them.
Yeah, Lane Kiffin being one of them. So, you know, that may factor into it as well. You want to do it as quickly as you can, of course, because we all know what you're up against. But you also don't want to have to settle or rush into hiring a coach just because you got to hire a coach when a better candidate may be available if you just wait a week. So this is the whole situation that Hunter Yurcheck finds themselves in. They fired Chad Morse early. They got ahead of the game a little bit. We'll see if that ends up playing out and being a benefit. But now you have places like Missouri and Ole Miss that have openings. You have other coaches that are going to be interested, but maybe they may be more interested in Ole Miss. You have ones that, of course, Jimmy Sexton going to be working the dollar signs to make sure that their guys get paid. You're going to have a lot of moving parts to this whole thing.
And Florida State may be the first domino, Clay, that's got to fall in all of this for everyone.
Yeah, I think it's going to happen rather quick. I don't see it dragging to next week. I could be wrong, but I think sooner is where it's going to be.
Yeah, I don't see it happening to where, like, this time next week, do you think we still are without a coach? I mean, I don't think so either.
No, I think sooner rather than later. Yeah. I think it could be this week.
Yeah. And I think for the sanity and the mental health of Razorback fans.
Well, you wonder, for me and you, too.
Yeah, I mean, too.
We told them to go ahead and get it done.
Yeah, that's right. That's so right.
Well, makes you wonder if a guy like Justin Fuentes, whose team got beat and is not going to the ACC title game, might be a target.
Now, let me ask you, what would you think about Fuente?
He's the guy that really constructed what's happened at Memphis, that everyone's high on Norvell, so I think that'd be a great candidate.
And the Barry Odom angle, you know, he's out of job, and a lot of people feel like he maybe end up being another defensive coordinator if they were able to do that, because that was one thing Missouri had in spades, was really having a good defense. They couldn't get the offense going, which is so shocking, because you had Derek Dooley as an offensive coordinator. How did that not work out? So, you know, that's an interesting angle, too. But obviously, there are a few names that are going around right now that people want. Whether or not they're actually the coach, though, is yet to be determined.
Yeah, I was doing, you know, the running my traps as far as, you know, who to call that knows different coaches. And the guys that I know that are close to Justin Fuente, I check with, and they said he likes where he's at, likes the conference that he's at, and does not want to be in the SEC. And so I dismissed him. Now, that could be wrong. They could be wrong. But this would be people that have worked with him in the past or grew up with him that know him really, really well. And they said no. Then Arkansas made a serious run 2 years ago, and he said did not want to be in the SEC. So, I mean, it could be that something's changed, but they said that they would be 100% surprised, knowing what they know and what he has told them in the past about the SEC. Nothing bad about Arkansas, but just the SEC in general, that's not where he has, and he's gone through the tough part at Virginia Tech. You know, their season last year was a train wreck, and they had to completely turn over the roster. And they had going on what, you know, we think now and believe that Arkansas had, that, you know, divided locker room, players not happy with the coach. That's what they had. You know, they had, you know, the old guys, you know, with Beamer, and just wasn't working out. And so he's been through that tough phase at Virginia Tech, and you'd think it would be good sailing going forward.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins, straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
We're going to do the best of the worst of the weekend here in just a little bit, but right now let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Ben is in Bentonville. What's going on, Ben?
Morning, guys. Hope y'all had a great Thanksgiving.
Hope you did, too.
Yeah, I did. I was quite literally off the grid until right into rolling up to the basketball game Saturday night. And all my guys that I was sitting with seemed to be pretty well convinced that Lane is the guy. I guess my question is, does Lane still talk to his daddy? And could he be part of the staff or maybe at least a consultant?
Well, I don't know.
Absolutely. Absolutely, he will be. He's a quality control assistant or analyst, however you want, senior analyst at Florida Atlantic, and he's in his 80s now, but he will I'd be stunned if he didn't follow him to Fayetteville. Talking about Monty Kiffin.
Fantastic.
Who was defensive coordinator under Lou Holtz at Arkansas.
That would give him my vote then. Thanks, Clay. Appreciate your perspective there. Y'all have a great day.
All right, you as well, Ben. Yeah, that was the thing is Monty Kiffin, you know, he's not a defensive coordinator anymore or anything like that, but still very much involved. And I think Lane has always kind of looked at his dad for obvious reasons.
Why would you not use him as a sounding board? I mean, seriously.
He's been around a bit and has had high-level success in those great defenses that were at USC in a large part. Because what was it always? The cover two or the Tampa two that he was known for as a defensive player.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, Clay, you can probably give some perspective. I know there are many times that I'd love to pick up the phone and be able to call my dad and ask for some advice. Be a sounding board for me. I'm sure you go through some of the same thoughts when you're making some decisions, business, personal, or otherwise. To have him around, A is just what a blessing for Lane Kiffin to still have your dad there, but be able to talk football and be a sounding board, what an awesome deal.
I can remember calling him about 29 years ago when I was thinking about starting Hogs Illustrated, and he's like, well, I don't know if you can trust the mail to get that magazine to people on time, but if you can get the mail, if you can make that work, then do it. And I remember calling him when I found out that Nolan was going to be fired, and I was going to release that story on our website. And he goes, well, it sounds a little dicey to me. You might add this word or this word to tone it down just a hair. So those are the kind of that's the kind of stuff you want to get from your dad.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. So because if it ends up being Lane, I think that you can guarantee that Monty Kiffin will be back in Arkansas. That is for sure. All right, let's hop into the best and the worst of the weekend here on The Morning Rush.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
We the best.
This is the worst.
It's time for the best and worst of the weekend.
All right, best and the worst of the weekend here on The Morning Rush, brought to you by Our Best Bank.
Yeah, have you checked your mortgage rate lately? A lot of times people forget about their rate once the loan is closed, but your friends at Our Best Bank would love the opportunity to review your current loan with you. Our Best has competitive rates that might be able to lower your monthly payment, shorten the term of your loan, or do both, and they service 99% of the loans they originate at ArvEst, so most of the time, you can deal with any of their local branches for all of your mortgage needs. Call our buddy Randy at 479-573-1127. That's 573-1127. He'll get you started with the process to review your current loan, or you can download the Home For Me app to your mobile device and search for an ArvEst loan officer near you. ArvEst Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
All right, my best of the work weekend, it's something small, but it was something that just brought me pure joy for whatever reason. But Auburn beating Alabama was a big one. And to see that happen again and Gus Malzahn to be at least guarantee himself another year of his job by beating Alabama.
Yeah, you can take him off the board at Arkansas completely.
You can. That's what he does. When anytime he's on the board at Arkansas, he gets taken off.
He was on the board, but he is now off the list completely.
It's no longer a reality or at least a dream even. So, but Auburn winning was, it was a great game overall. But the best thing I saw was, of course, first off, Auburn rushing the field I thought was strange at first because, guys, it's the Iron Bowl. You beat Alabama. It's not like you've gone on a 10-game losing streak. Yeah, you just beat them a couple years ago. So that wasn't that, but it was the fact that the viral video of two older women that you could tell they have been enjoying their Saturday. They were trying to get onto the field. Well, in the field setup is there's these hedges, these bushes that are there in front. So you kind of have to climb over them. And now some people had a little more glamorous about
these
it.
And these aren't your average hedges. Now Clay, you've seen them up close in person. These are wide. What would you say they are? 5 feet wide, Clay? Maybe more?
Yeah, probably 6 foot tall and about 5 to 8 foot wide. Now, I don't really like the way John couched that. Now, those look like they were women in their prime. I do not like the idea that you said they were older women.
Well, we can't. We all have different definitions of prime.
Watch
Clay,
it.
But
watch it. Watch it now.
I will
watch
say it. They had a few years on me. We'll all put it on that way.
Everybody's got a few years on you.
But to see them trying to get through the bushes was quite comical. And one lady pretty much made it, but the other lady just jumped into it like it was almost like she was doing a cannonball at the pool.
Uh-huh.
Like she just like said, I'm not going to try to be glamorous about it. I'm not trying to, you know, step over a little bit. I'm just going to hop up, go inside, and then crawl my way out of those bushes.
I don't think she was feeling any pain.
No, I don't think she had any regard for what type of situation that could have caused her by diving in that way. Tommy, I don't think I would ever jump into a big thing of bushes that way ever in any point in time where I'm kind of going in where my behind hits first. Mm-hmm. To just, you know, end up with a...
You wouldn't want to hit a branch.
Yeah, you end up with a Frank Costanza thing from Seinfeld with Fusilli Jerry. But anyways, that was fantastic to see. There was other people that struggled to get over there, but it's just funny to me that even though you have bushes to go through, the fact that you still want to be on that field and the dedication you will take, no matter how much of liquid courage you have, you will still find a way, just like those prime women individuals that went through there and made it happen. So that was definitely my best of the week.
Pretty cool. You know how I feel about LSU.
I do.
Not a big LSU fan, but I thought one of the coolest moments, one of the best moments of the weekend was Joe Burrow coming out on the field.
Yes.
The video and the way they presented all of that on social media. But guys, the way he embraced the fans and his short time there by a tribute to the fans, spelling his name with a E-A-U-X on the end instead of the way it's actually, I thought was a pretty cool moment for college football and for LSU. I don't know. I guess they can't sell those jerseys now under current, but they would sell a gazillion of them if they were allowed to be sold, and probably someone that's not supposed to be selling them will bootleg or counterfeit some of those or whatever and get those out there. I thought that was really a great just showing of respect and care for the fans the way Joe Burrow handled that on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a great moment and another great performance by him. He's the Heisman winner, right? Can we all chalk it up to that?
Well, I mean, Clay's got the ballots.
Yeah.
I got my ballot this morning. In fact, I just checked the email and there it was. Yeah, that would be my pick. You know, there would have to be something monumental to change it, and I think he's the winner. You know, there's 1,599 others that get to decide too. So mine is just one vote worth 3 points. But I think that he's something's got to happen dramatically different for him not to win it. And there's some other good candidates, but I think that he's separated himself.
Who's even close? I mean, who would even be a close second right now?
Yeah, I mean it'd be tough to find one. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think it's going to be some, you know, regional guys here or there.
It would take something
some support
off
out west for the Utah quarterback, but I don't see that happening.
It would take an off the field scandal at this point, I think, to get him out of the Heisman Trophy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's, you know, the Ohio State in the Midwest. They've pushed Chase Young, but he had, you know, he didn't. Michigan pretty much kept him under wraps. I mean, they didn't win the game. Michigan didn't, but they didn't. You know, it wasn't him that. Justin Field was the star in that game, not Chase Young. And I always look for a defensive player, and he'll probably be on my ballot. And you guys want my best for the weekend?
Yeah, go ahead.
Time for that. So I'm going to stick with the Auburn game. And I think that it was just magnificent coaching at the end by Gus to confuse Alabama by leaving their starting team out there, moving their quarterback under center, and to see the mass confusion on the Alabama sideline, then ultimately getting the 12-man penalty, then the reaction from Nick as he realized that a coaching blunder had cost them a chance at getting the ball back in the final seconds and caused them a 12-man on the field penalty. And, to kind of take that one step further, I think they had 12 or 13 penalties, which is the most
yes.
of the Nick Saban time, and to lose in a game with Auburn with an undisciplined look with their team and their coaching staff will make for pure hell as they work towards a bowl game. Would you agree?
Oh, I texted some buddies of mine after. I would sure hate to be
in the coaches' meeting room on Sunday morning with Nick Saban. Because it's not – even the plane ride home is probably – well, I don't know if they ride plane or what they do from Auburn. But
I think they bus.
Yeah, but I think if
there was a plane, you would want to be on the bus if you were one of his assistants. Yeah. I'll tell you
it
that.
It would be a bus ride, and you would make sure that you were not on his bus.
Yes.
You'd just keep getting on and off buses until you saw which one he was on.
That was my worst of the weekend. We'll just shift it. It was Saban.
Oh, I thought it was best.
No. My part was the Saban part, complaining about the officiating, and it was unfair. Listen,
points at the end of the half.
He didn't like the 1 second at the end of the half, which you could make the case was the difference in the game since it was a 3-point game. But it just falls short and hollow to me for Saban to complain about the officiating being unfair to Alabama.
It's like Calipari doing
good
the same
Lord,
thing.
Get out of here. Yeah. I mean, no one's earned more breaks. And I'll give the Alabama this. They've earned the breaks they've gotten over his time in Tuscaloosa. But don't come in here complaining about officiating, dude.
He's going to complain about that use of the replay for the next 9 months.
Listen.
That will be – we're going to get that rule changed because of the way that says that the replay cost us that. But guess who was the strongest proponent for replay, you know, and adding it in the SEC? It was him.
Mm-hmm. Well, Nick Saban used replay to his advantage to get time put back on the clock, and then the kick six happened.
Yep.
So – I mean, he likes to have it both ways. Well, only conference champions should be allowed in the playoff when he's a conference champion. When he's not, he's lobbying for the other side. So he's going to say whatever fits his narrative in that day. But, dude, don't come in here with unfair and involving officiating when you've had every break for more than a decade. I'm not listening to that.
So you've got, for the next 9 months, you've got the situation of him playing two at the end of the game. That is that's there are growing mumblings in Alabama about that, and then this will add to it. So, it's like anything else. You're just a little short losing streak away from being on the hot seat. He's not on the hot seat, but it's if they lose the bowl game, and it will be hard for them to be up for a bowl game. Whoever gets them is going to get a wounded team, but it's. They won't have Tua. Mac Jones is two pick sixes, and both of them were on him. There's some chinks in the armor at Alabama.
Yeah, and it's funny too because I'm on my worst of the weekend. I'm going to piggyback off something that was your best of the weekend too, Tommy. So I guess we're just piggybacking off of each other. But my worst of the weekend, it's a small one. I got two, but the small one was the fact that Joe Burrow had that his name as a jersey and everything, but then he had to take it off and couldn't play with it because of NCAA rules. They don't allow customized jerseys like that into games, and it's like really. I understand that going all out, but
can you get a waiver?
Yeah, seriously.
If we can get Gabe Osaboyan eligible, can we not get Burrow's name spelled
listen,
the Cajun way?
I understand if you don't want to go full XFL where he hate me is on the back of your jersey or anything. But
that's not what he was doing.
Right. It was just a tribute and paying homage to the LSU fans. And it's not like, number nine, who's that? I can't tell.
It's what makes college football greater. Yeah. Little things like that paint in the corners. I mean, it's just – I don't like LSU. They're one of my least favorite teams, one of my most hated teams. But that was a great moment for college sports, college football in general. Great moment for the SEC and LSU, of course. So I don't understand the stupidity in some of these rules.
Yeah, and the other one real quick was, of course, the firing of Barry Odom at Missouri. Now, not necessarily that they fired him, but in the manner and all the things that went down. So it's essentially, this came from a few of the national college football writers when they're insiders telling him about this situation. So after the Arkansas game, apparently Barry Odom wanted a vote of confidence from the athletic director and the administration, which isn't usually too much to ask because it's just say, hey, I want a vote of confidence. I want to make sure that y'all are still on board with me and I want it to be public. Well, then the athletic directors and everybody said, well, we got to talk about this. Let's see how it goes first. Let's get with the board and everything. Let's kind of just wait on that. Well, then Barry Odom goes to the rest of his staff and starts telling him, well, we're about to get fired. It's all over, guys. Sorry. It's over. Well, then they start kind of freaking out about it. And they're like, well, I guess we're done. So we're going to stop recruiting and we're just going to come on back and not worry anything about it. And then that got back to the athletic director of the administration. Hey, wait a minute, dude. We didn't say we were firing you. We just said we needed some time before we give you a vote of confidence. But then after it all came out and all the assistant coaches started mailing it in and everything, well, they said, all right, well, we're firing you anyway. Get out of here. And so it was a weird transition. So basically, it was just the fact that you had a lack of communication on both sides, because it was reported that Missouri was planning on keeping Barry Odom. But the fact that he went to his staff and everybody said, oh, well, it's gone, it's over, it's done with, that ended up being what happened with that situation.
Oh, it's an overreaction.
Exactly. And then also with Missouri, from what it looks like from their financial standpoint, from their support standpoint and all of that, it's not exactly like they're in just the prime situation to go out and be hiring a new head coach. So I'll be curious to see how that ends up. I know Arkansas's got their own fish to fry when it comes to their coaching search and their own problems. But Missouri and Ole Miss, both of them, who are looking for new coaches, have their own share fair of problems, especially dealing with the NCAA right now and the money situations, because Matt Luke, as we all know, was owed over $10 million in his buyout. So, you know, how is money going to play into this? I don't know, but what a weird and dumb way for Barry Odom to lose his job at Missouri. Yep.
You want one more worst of the weekend?
Sure, hit me with it.
Mumps. That's it.
Mumps.
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 We got biblical plagues affecting the football program now. Got the mumps.
If there wasn't a more fitting way for this season to end for Arkansas of the final game of the season, well, there's going to be some key players out with the case of the mumps.
Mumps.
Just absolutely, totally unbelievable. But
I mean, Clay, let me ask you, Clay, did it make you feel a little uneasy going into the interview rooms and being around? I mean, you were there talking to these guys that, hey, I've been with them at LSU, been with them, you know, practices, and that make you want to go get your get a shot, get another inoculation?
I didn't really. I guess if they'd have brought too many of the defensive backs in, I probably would have thought that, because that's where it's all at. And it's like they left the defensive backfield coach at home, or the cornerback coach, corners at home. It's seemed like it's ravaged the corner room more than anything else. So as long as they didn't bring any cornerbacks in, I was okay.
Well, so I could have seen Clay with one of those little face mask on, that tries to keep it from infecting you.
That would have been my concern is, you know, I need a longer mic cord here. one of these sticks to hold the mic. I'm going to stay about 9 or 10 feet back from here as I conduct this interview, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I'd definitely be a lot more cautious on that for sure. Hey, by the way, go ahead, Clay.
I was at the Walmart yesterday and the checkout lady had a mask on. I said, do you want me to give you a hug? She was like panic in her eyes.
Oh, my goodness. Well, there'd be panic in my eyes no matter what if you asked me if you were going to give me a hug anyways, Clay. I can tell you that. But, by the way, Patrick just tweeted in and says, nobody's worst was the Ole Miss player acting like a dog in urine.
We talked about that on Friday. I had it down here as Egg Bowl ending. I had it on my best. I'll be honest, it's on my best list because I thought it was the funniest moment of the weekend, but in the end it's worse because it gets their coach fired. Matt Luke's out, and I think in large part to that, I think if they win football game, he's still a head coach.
Yeah.
My worst was, and Tommy, you'll love this, the officiating.
and just in general?
Yeah, and I mean the replay of, I mean, I guess I don't understand targeting because every time I thought it should be targeting, it wasn't.
There's some indicators there, and when I first look at it, thought the same thing. And then when you go back and you look at it again, he didn't lower the crown. And there's about three indicators in college football that have to be there for targeting. And using the top of the crown, hitting more with a face mask than the top of the helmet. But, you know, those are one of the indicators.
Well, that wasn't really the ultimate. Those were just like puzzling things to me. The deep pass to Treylon Burks where the guy just wrapped his arms around his waist and was tugging at him, and the other guy on the other side was doing the same thing, and it's in the end zone, and it's like they don't want to call it there because it's a 50-yard penalty. Mm-hmm. Just a bad look when they call pass interference on Arkansas later in the game.
Yeah, wasn't very consistent.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.